Hello and welcome to another episode of Into the 99 podcast. We've got 99 cards because Commander is number one. I am one of your hosts, Daniel, and I am joined today with Lotus. Lotus, how are you doing this week?
I'm great. I'm enjoying the new Secret Lair spoilers. Everything's going great.
They have been actually some pretty good spoilers. There's enough of them that they warrant their own mini episode at some point, and maybe we'll do one of those coming up.
Yeah, because I'm really excited about the kids one.
Yeah, that was a pretty interesting concept, and the fact that you get so much value in that little kid's one is also a good... Obviously, it's for charity, so it's a good reason to buy it already, but...
Two crater hooves for $40?
Yeah, but card value is also quite a good reason, you know?
But yes, charity is always the main reason, but if they were going to give you some cards for charity, you can't complain at what they selected.
It has been nice that they've chosen good ones, like the Teferi's Protection and the Consecrated Sphinx last year. The other one's not as great. Muldrifter, I guess, though, sees play. Like, that's pretty... Like I said, I could really get into that one and go off. The last few weeks we were on a quick break. Lotus is brewing it live, covered the shows. Zach is still away. He's got some internet issues going on, but he'll be back soon. We love you, Zach. Obviously.
Yeah. I back to us.
Yeah. I've just been spam playing Diablo 2 again. Oh, that game remastered is just a blast. I love playing Diablo 2. It's brought back all those good childhood memories, so I've been spam playing that in my time off and taking a small break from in-person Magic because candle season's upon us, and I'm in the middle of selling a bunch of candles, so it's been good, but the games I have played, I've been playing with a bunch of new decks. I made like 9 or 10 new decks, and I've just been cycling back and forth between them when I do play. Like, I play like once a week right now. And
yeah, I'm the same. I mean, other than like your Diablo 2, I'm Minecraft. I love my Minecraft, building my little farmstead and everything. But I've only been playing once a week, and I've been cycling through 4 decks at the minute.
Well, so yeah.
I've just built a new one yesterday, and it's surprisingly similar to the one that you're going to tell us about.
Yeah, so let's even just start talking about it right now. One of the cards, and when we were talking about spoilers as well, that I was the most excited for was Catilda. Catilda's everything I like in a card except for a card draw. It has an ability that you can use your excess mana for. Catilda is Selesnya, and I really like Selesnya colors in general. It's just a fun color to me. In my list, I did not put my land base in. It's just like a very, very small land base. You can edit the land base however you want. Maybe put like a Rogue's Passage, whatever in it. Spoiler alert, the deck list is going to be in here. It's not an exciting deck list in the lands.
No, you've got Evolving Wilds in that, but you haven't even got Gavany Township or Castle Ardenvale in there.
Yeah, exactly. See, Lotus gets it like this. I didn't put any of the lands in. I was like, we're going to do this. I threw this list together because I wanted to talk about it so, so much. So I actually built 2 Catilda decks. First and foremost, the one we're talking about today is the one that is more fun, in quotes. I like this one a lot more. The other one is trying to get Primal Surge off because you generate so much mana and you Primal Surge and kill the table. Number one, when you're Primal Surging, don't put in any ETB draw because you will kill yourself. Don't do that one. That one's rough. Unless there's another, maybe one of the angels, like... I think there's an angel that you can't lose the game this turn.
Yeah, the Enduring Angel.
I guess you can also Platinum Angel, any of those things. Regardless, I just didn't put any ETB drawn. The Primal Surge one is really, really fun because if Primal Surge isn't countered, then you win. You run things like, what's the damage can't be prevented one, Lotus? What am I thinking?
I'm only thinking of red stuff like...
Questing Beast. So you run Quest... The main things have to hit are you want to hit your Questing Beast, you want to hit Dosin the Fallen Leaf, so people can't cast spells, and then you want to be able to hit, what's the other word I'm thinking? Dosin, Questing Beast, and can't even remember the other one. Concordant Crossroads, so you have haste. Because at that point, no one can cast anything. They can't cast in the middle of your resolution of your spell, so if it resolves... You have lethal, unpreventable damage. No one can cast spells.
Disgusting.
Yeah, it's really, really fun to Primal Surge. I have like 4 different Primal Surge decks. I have a Primal Surge Slivers deck. That one's really, really fun too. All of them generally function on that same basis of damage can't be prevented. No one, like I said, once it starts, you cannot cast. I wish that you could wait to see what I was revealing and then cast a spell in the middle of it, but it doesn't work that way. So, yeah, anyways, back to Catilda. That was a long rant. Long story short, I like playing Primal Surge. Okay, Catilda is one green, one white for a 1/1 human warlock with protection from werewolves. First and foremost, no one cares. That's a mechanic that does not matter. The mechanic that does matter the most to us is human creatures you control have tapped to add 1 mana of this creature's color. That's just a phenomenal card. So Catilda already is a mana dork for green or for white, a 1/1, and then has a secondary ability of 4 colorless, 1 green, 1 white, tap, put a 1/1 counter on each creature you control. So a lot of decks are going to run either things that are high cost, things that are mana sinks. It's really easy to make a human travel deck if all your humans turn into mana dorks, obviously.
Elves got nothing on this.
Yeah, exactly. So like it's just a really, really fun deck to play. I've played probably 10 or 11 games with it so far, and I've had a blast every time. This deck is weak to a board wipe. Don't get board wiped. And if you have a if you have a board wipe, that the fun thing about this was a lot of people have moved to single target removal right now. That's kind of what's working in a lot of commander metas at the moment is single target removal and a ton of it. So mass board wipe is going to hurt this deck because you really need to protect Catilda. Generally, you've got so much mana that it doesn't matter, but you need to have Catilda out to actually do things. There's like secondary things, but the deck functions much better with the commander. For once, it is like a commander themed deck instead of just like a colors deck. So I'm actually going to start backwards on our list. I'm going to go sorcery, enchantment, instant, artifact, creature. That order might be wrong, so feel free to call me out on that later on, but I'll let Lotus start with our sorceries here.
Sorceries, okay. So to give you sort of some background, I built Kyla, another Selesnya human lord, so I can see if there's any better cards that I put in, but we'll stick to your list first. We won't call you out just yet.
No, feel free to throw it in. I just, like I said, I built my collection. This was built just basically out of collection. So I'm sure there's missing things, but oh man, this deck's fun.
I did the same because obviously singleton collection, but I was like, I'm going to buy that commander. I'm not buying the pre-con,
yeah,
and I'll build it the way I want to. But your first sorcery, let's get into it, is, you give me the one that I can't pronounce. Camaraderie?
Camaraderie, yeah.
Yeah, you do this on purpose. 4 green, white for a sorcery. You gain X life and draw X cards where X is the number of creatures you control, and then creatures you control get +1/+1 till end of turn.
Yeah, generally in this deck, we're running 44 creatures in it, so we're going to get a lot of benefit out of that. We need some card draw. Like I said, Catilda was missing. She has everything I want but card draw.
Yeah, that's fair.
So the next one I have on the list is Increasing Devotion, 3 white-white. For a sorcery, create 5/1/1 white human creature tokens. If it was cast from a graveyard, create 10 instead. So you're getting 5 mana pips out of that and 5/1/1s. It's really, really beneficial in this. And they pay for the next 5 mana of the spell when you cast it again. It's
pretty decent.
I really, really like Increasing Devotion. The next one as well. Functions a little similar. It's 1 green, 1 white, and it creates 2 1/1 white humans, and it has a flashback of 5. Just being able to make those mana pips is really important in this deck because
I like Join the Dance. It's such a nice little card.
Yeah, I really, really enjoy it. This is it's kind of fun. The deck that I built is very, half of it is like very, very Church of Avicenna, like really, really hardcore devout kind of things, and then half is like the heretics, like worshiping in the forest. Love it. I'll let you take this next one here.
So, Long Rest, X, green, green, green. For a sorcery, return X target cards with different mana values from your graveyard to your hand. If 8 or more cards were returned to your hand this way, your life total becomes equal to your starting life total. And then exile the Long Rest.
Yeah.
That's pretty decent.
It's a good recursion, and we need recursion.
Yeah.
The next one I have is Mankindi Stampede, because number one, I like the land. Tap lands aren't really going to hurt you that much in this deck because everything's a mana pip. Everything's a mana dork. It's 3 white-white for creatures you control, get 2/2 till end of turn, or in a worst case, you can have it enter tapped as a white, taps for white mana.
Yeah, that was a good thing they did, those dual side cards.
Yeah, I really like them. I think a lot of them give a lot of utility. Later, it gives you a mini half overrun effect, and I could have included overrun, but I kind of just liked this one a little bit better as a mana source.
Yeah,
and didn't have an overrun on my box.
So it would have been an overrun.
Yeah, probably. I'll let you take this next one.
Starnheim Unleashed, 2WW sorcery. Create a 4/4 white angel warrior creature token with flying and vigilance. If this spell was foretold, create X of those tokens instead, and you foretell it for XX white.
We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
Yeah, I really, really like the ability to put those in. This deck should be running Promise of Glory.
Okay.
Or Finale of Glory, sorry, that's the one.
Finale of Glory, yeah.
Yeah, let me pull up Finale of Glory and just... Sorry for everyone who's hearing me typing. Yeah, so
something like X, white, white, create humans, if you pay 10, they're angels instead?
Yeah, so it's create X, 2/2 white soldier creature tokens, which is why I was like, eh. But looking at the list again, you got a lot of mana. I've played it a few times, you want Finale of Glory in here. It's create X 2/2 white soldier tokens with vigilance. It's X and X white white. If X is 10 or more, also create that many 4/4 angels with flying.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
Yeah, so Finale of Glory should be in the list as well, but we have another stand-in with Visions of Glory. New card from the new sets, one of the set booster exclusives, which I didn't like that they did that way. 4 and a white for create a 1/1 white human creature token for each creature you control. Awesome. Flashback is 8 white white, and then it costs less where X is the greatest mana value of commander you own in the command's owner value. You're not getting a big discount on it. It's flashback of 8 for you.
Yeah.
But you get a lot.
Kyla's 5 CMC, so it's actually cheaper for me to flash it back.
Yeah, so a flashback. Kyler's a really, really cool one. I actually wanted to include him in the list, but did not pull an extra one, and that's another one I made was Lenore, and I really, really like the Lenore deck. It's super fun. The different power matters.
Yeah.
Yeah, love that one. I also really like this one because, again, we have so much mana to use that we're going to out-benefit our opponents a lot of the times when we cast this. So I'll let you take this one away, Lotus.
Weird Harvest, X green green sorcery. Each player may search their library for up to X creature cards, reveal those cards, and put them into your hand. Then each player who searched their library this way shuffles it. So it's just a mass tutor for everybody.
Yeah, I really, really like it. You generally actually have the mana to deal with it.
Okay.
So you can actually get your stuff online. We roll over into our instance here, and I don't have very many instants in the deck because it's not about that. It's about human pips. We have Rite of Harmony, 1 green, 1 white. Whenever a creature or enchantment enters the battlefield under your control this turn, draw a card. The ceiling on this card is very high. I really, really have gotten a lot of value out of it.
That's fair.
Yeah, like it's if I'm doing like one of the flashback devotion cards and I am putting 10 creatures in, I'm drawing 10.
I'm still unsure about this card. It's, the ceiling is very high, but the floor is very low as well.
I generate a lot of creatures. Like I said, board wipes really hurt. You don't want to be board wiped in this deck. And then the other instant I have is Sajiri's Shelter. 1 and a white, target creature you control gains protection from the color of your choice till the end of the turn, and it just flips for a white mana.
Yeah, I mean, even in my version, I only ran 4 instants. I had, instead of your Sajiri's Shelter, I had Flawless Maneuver, Unbreakable Formation. So, pretty much the same.
I'm getting burned out of like the zero-cost ones lately.
Yeah?
Man, I don't know. I feel like they throw threat assessment off in lower power games.
Fair.
So, meh. This card is an MVP in this deck, the next one in the artifacts, and I'm actually going to go buy the Masterpiece version because of it, because I like it so much. It's Mind's Eye, 5 mana, 5 colorless artifact. Whenever an opponent draws a card, you can pay one. If you do draw a card, you've got so much mana that it's just such a phenomenal mana sink in this deck.
I still need to try and find a copy.
Yeah, I really, really want the Masterpiece one. I think the Masterpiece one looks really cool. I think it's Dovin on it.
Let's have a look.
Yeah, it's just a beautiful one. It and the Cloudstone Curio and the Torrential Gearhulk are my favorite Masterpiece artworks.
Ooh.
Love the Torrential Gearhulk. He's just watering his flowers.
I've not managed to get a single invention. The only thing I have is an Invocation Doomsday.
I don't know if it's... It doesn't look like it's actually Dovin, just a consulate person. But still, awesome. Love it.
Mm.
Did you see it or the Masterpiece?
Yeah, I'm looking at them and wishing that I had a bigger purse.
The other one in the deck is just something that synergizes super, super well, and it's Throne of the God Pharaoh. 2, at the beginning of your end step, each opponent loses life equal to the number of tapped creatures you control. Because your creatures all tap for mana, you have on deck, you don't have to attack, you can get through, it loses life, so damage prevent really isn't going to help your friends that much there. And a lot of times in this deck, you can pretty much kill the table out.
I was going to say, you tap 10 each time.
Yeah. Well, and you have a lot of untapped shenanigans. Like, most people running this deck would run something like Seedborn Muse and stuff again. I just built from a binder because I got excited, so I didn't have a spare Seedborn Muse. I'm sorry that I don't have 80 like Brian.
Well, it just shows you that even the Dan that has Black Lotuses and all the rest of it, because you've been playing so long, still builds cards I own.
Yeah. Well, that is one fun thing. This is, Lotus was saying at the beginning of it that it's been really entertaining seeing that I've been building like random budget decks. I'm like, oh yeah, like this is cool. But it's because I was in the middle of, for a little background info on me, I never organized my cards at all. They basically sit in boxes of like unsorted rares.
No.
All the time.
You have hockey bags full of magic cards.
No, but let's be honest. But generally, when I pull rares, if I open like 10 boxes, I just basically sort them by color, and then I put them in a box unsorted, and then I just like write like box of shame 1, box of shame 2, because I think it's funny. But like, I never generally actually sort my cards. So
that makes me sad.
Yeah, they were really in the way though, and I did sort them. So they're all actually in a binder now. So I've just been building like mega from binder decks. And some of them are pretty budget, just pretty random. Like, oh, like this is cool. I've got this. And obviously like in this list, I didn't throw any dual lands in because it's Catilda. It's 2 mana. You're fine. you accelerate pretty quick in the deck, right? But that being said, like then I built like some decks. Like I built Slowgurk and I was really excited for Slowgurk. My Slowgurk deck is not the same budget. So Lotus was saying, though, that it's fun seeing me build budgets and, like, easier to access decks, while she's been building, like, more, like, higher power ones, being like, oh, like, I finally got these cards in my collection. I'm really liking it. Let's build this instead.
Yeah, because I only have my Singleton collection, so I've been trading up from commons to uncommons to uncommons to rare and so on and so on. To finally get like the big cards like Consecrated Sphinx, I've never owned one until recently, Teferi's Protection. So to Dan, they're not expensive cards because you play original jewels and stuff like that. But to me, they're massively expensive.
Yeah.
And we've kind of flipped.
Yeah, so this one is the budget on the deck is like $194, and I'm sure you could cut some of it out, but like, even regardless, what's my actual expensive section? I don't even think there is one.
The creatures take half of it.
Yeah, creatures are like $100 of my deck. Oh, my enchantments are $36. So if you... Which one of them is the expensive one? I'm sure. None of them are even that expensive. We'll get to we'll get to them in a minute. We'll get them. We're actually starting into the enchantment section, so I'll let you start us off here. We run 11 enchantments in the deck. Most of them are for putting mana into.
Yeah, and you've got one of my favorite cards in Armatist. 2 and a white for an enchantment. Pay 3 white, draw a card, and target opponent gains 3 life. Who says white doesn't have card draw?
Like I said, you generate a crazy amount of mana in this, so it is kind of nice to, even if you have to chump block something, you declare it blocked, dump some mana into drawing a card. I really, really like the card, and it's very fun to save people from dying. It's really fun when someone's like, I have exactly lethal, I'll swing you, and I'm like, they can gain 3 life.
Yeah.
It's a good time to assault your friends. I really like doing that. The next card in the deck is one of my least favorite cards, but as everyone saw, I didn't put any instants in, so I need artifact and enchantment removal, and I put in Aura Shards. I hate Aura Shards. Very annoying, but when I'm playing it, different rules for me. It's one colorless, one green, wow. One white. Whenever a creature comes into play under your control, you may destroy target artifact or enchantment. It is just silly how annoying that card is. I really don't like it.
That's fair.
But here it is, right?
It's not the Karthas I was expecting, but Karthas cool. 2 and a white for an enchantment aura, enchant creature. The enchanted creature has vigilance, and at the beginning of your end step, create a 1/1 human creature token.
I love that card.
I was expecting Karthas Crusade.
Karthas Crusade's really good too, but I'm not super, super heavy token generation. I just want to create humans and make those humans make mana. Because the whole point of the deck is actually in the next card. It's one of my favorite alternative win cons. I love alternative win cons. That's why I don't think Golo should have been banned, and I will rant about that on another day, I am sure. But one of my favorite alternate win cons is Helix Pinnacle. It is 1 green for an enchantment. The enchantment has Shroud. Pay X mana, put X tower counters on Helix Pinnacle. At the beginning of your upkeep, if there are 100 more counters on Helix Pinnacle, you win the game. Now, number one, I love this card. Number two, phenomenal mana sink with a ticking time bomb that you can't really target. You can't get at it. So you need mass enchantment destruction, which pretty much no one runs. You've got to counter this card.
Yeah, I love this card so much. I'm so glad to see you play it.
But number two, artwork-wise, it kind of looks exactly like what Catilda's doing, you know?
Huh.
There,
yeah, it looked like she's kindling the fire that then becomes the tower.
Yeah, so like Catilda's like lore in it is that she's like part of like the new religions, like worshiping the old gods now that Avacyn's gone. Listen to the lore episode if you didn't, it really goes into it. But Helix Pinnacle is just the perfect win con thematically for like the pagan worship that goes on with the Dawnhearts. Love it, love the card, my favorite card in the deck. The next one is my favorite card to draw on turn one, but before the game starts. Lotus, please, the next one.
Playline of Abundance. 2 green-green, but if you get it right, it's going to be put into the battlefield from your opening hand for free. Whenever you tap a creature for mana, add an additional green. 6 green-green, put a +1 counter on each creature you control.
This is what we want.
Yeah. It's going to make your mana dorks very, very powerful.
Yeah, double dorks. And the nice thing about it is that Catilda makes it so they tap for one of the creature's colors. So if I tap Catilda for a white, I now produce one white, one green. Love it. Absolutely love the card.
Yep.
There was finally some in. I bought every one of them. I think I bought like a stack of 11. No one else gets it.
You're an animal.
they're like a nice cheap card, but I just never see them. The next one is for a similar reason, and it's Mana Reflection, which is one of the best cards that came down in price. I'm super happy that it's like at a more attainable price, because I'm actually starting to see it pop up in games, whereas before it was only a certain tier of player who was playing it. You know, like it was those only like really tuned decks. You couldn't afford to throw it into a budget deck, right? And we're running a $200 or less budget, and we've got Mana Reflection in it. That's awesome. Same with Helix Pinnacle, right? Like those cards, like a year ago, would have been $60 of the deck alone in 2 cards at a minimum. So I'm really, really happy. Mana Reflection is super fun to play. Nyx Bloom Ancient would have been another good one, but it's not human. And as I've explained, we're on a mission.
Wait, I mean, it's the same, but I mean, I'm not running Mana Reflection. I was running Mimari's Wake.
Yep.
But that's another card that has dramatically come down in price.
Oh, the alternate version as well. Beautiful.
Oh, God, yeah.
Absolutely love that one. Mana Reflection, for anyone who doesn't know, 4 double green. If you tap a permanent for mana, it produces twice as much of that mana instead. I love everything that says twice in Magic.
It's never a mistake.
Yeah, it's never once gone poorly. Why would they change it? Yeah, twice is a great one. The next one I also find really, really fun. You don't really see this one. I'll let Lotus take it.
I've never seen this one. Quarantine Field, XX White White Enchantment. When it enters the battlefield with X isolation counters on it. When Quarantine Field enters the battlefield, for each isolation counter on it, exile up to one target non-land permanent opponent controls until it leaves the battlefield. Ah, so it's like a Banishing Light, but with multiple targets.
Yeah, I really, really like it. And again, we've got a lot of mana. I have made, like, pretty easily, like, 50 mana in a turn.
Ew.
Yeah, so, like, getting rid of, like, 24 things or whatever it is pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Sad it can't hit lands, but that's okay.
No, Dad, stop.
The next one, again, an MVP card in this deck, and another one I really like. People run a lot of single-target removal, but that removal just never is for enchantments, and I don't know why. We have Quest
Everybody, if you're in green, Barrier Breach.
Barrier Breach is a great card, especially with its cycling. But we have Quest for Renewal. One green, one colorless enchantment. Whenever a creature you control becomes tapped, put a quest counter on Quest for Renewal. As long as there are four or more quest counters, untap all creatures during each other player's untap step. That card gets out of hand with Catilda's ability to dump the mana in, or if you have your Leyline of Abundance, any of your mana sink cards, they just go machine gun mode with Quest for Renewal out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll let you take the next one, Lotus. It seems like something you would like.
Sacred Mesa, 2 and a white for an enchantment. At the beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice it unless you sacrifice a Pegasus. 1 and a white, put a 1/1 white Pegasus creature token with flying onto the battlefield. You got enough mana to keep pumping out so many.
Oh yeah. The next one on the list too, I really like this card a lot. It does pretty much everything I want in a white card. It's 2 white-white. As it enters, note your life total. At the beginning of your upkeep, draw a card. If your life total is greater than or equal to the last noted life total, then note your life total. Whenever you cast a white spell, gain a card. You've got some upkeep card draw. You've got some life gain. I really like it. It's a great Pillow Fort deck card as well.
The next one's pretty decent as well. I quite like this one. Thorough Investigation, 2 and a white for an enchantment. Whenever you attack, investigate. Whenever you sacrifice a clue, venture into the dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
I like the dungeon mechanic.
I do too. I think it brings a lot of utility from like outside of the game that's very accessible.
Yeah, and that is just so you whenever you attack, no matter how many creatures or players, as soon as you've attacked, you get your clue, you crack it for a card, and then you just so happen to venture. It's pretty good.
I'm a big fan of that. And with that's all of the cards in the deck that are not.
There's one card that I like running, which is still budget. It's 25 cents that I put in.
Okay.
And I put in High Ground, and I think you should too.
Which one's High Ground?
High Ground is a single white for an enchantment. Each creature you control may block one additional creature.
That's a good one.
It's 25 cents. Not many people play it, but a lot of people play Menace.
Yeah, Menace has been more and more frequent lately. I don't like it.
Yeah, so two creatures can block two Menace creatures because each blocks each one crossways.
Yeah. All right, let's get into some of the humans that actually make this deck go, because pretty much everything in the deck is a human. Almost all. There's like one or two that aren't. Number one, we have Adeline, Resplendent Cather. 1 double white for a human knight. Its power is star and 4. It has vigilance. Power and toughness equal to the number of creatures you control. Whenever you attack, for each opponent, create a 1/1 white human creature token that's tapped and attacking that player or a planeswalker they control.
Nice.
Really, really like it. Generating in Magic, generating 3 tokens on swing is very, very strong, especially if you have anything that pumps up creatures. And every swing you pump Adeline 3 power, it's awesome.
Yeah.
If you had, is this in your Kyler deck?
Yes, this is actually in my Kyler deck.
Yeah. 3 humans enter, you get 3 more, like, plus ones on, like, they'd just be enormous. Adeline really, really is a great card from the new set.
I only put it in because you were talking about it during, I think it was spoiler season, how mad it was, and you wanted to build it as a commander.
Yeah, I do. I love just mono white beatdown, and everyone, oh, it's not good enough. It's pretty good. I like it. It's a great time.
Oh, yeah.
We have Angel of Glory's Rise, which is one of the only non-human ones in the deck. 5 white-white. When it enters, exile all zombies, then return all human creatures from your graveyard to the battlefield. And there's a lot of people playing zombies right now, so it does have a chance to actually exile those. But what you actually care about is bringing all your creatures back.
I've not seen that one yet, so that's been added to my maybe board.
Oh, yeah. Just being able to bring, like I said, board wipes are what hurt, and Angel of Glory's Rise is what saves us.
Shame it hasn't got Flash, but I think that would be a bit more broken.
I know, right? I'll let you take the next one here.
Augur of Autumn, 1 green-green for a human dryad, 2/3. You may look at the top card of your library at any time. You may play lands from the top of your library and Coven. As long as you control 3 or more creatures with different powers, you may cast creature spells from the top of your library. This is basically Courser of Kruphix and the other one.
Vizier of the Menagerie or something?
Yeah, all rolled into one.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
And a 2/3, a thick body for blocking, and a human. It taps for mana for us.
I reckon after this set rotates, this is one of the cards that will increase in price.
Oh, it will for sure continue going up. It's a great card. If they had stapled on the, you can play another land thing too, this would be crazy. But
yeah,
I think balanced enough.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I like it.
We have Avacyn's Pilgrim, 1 green for a human monk that taps for 1 white. But with Catilda, it gives us the ability to tap for both.
Yeah, one or the other.
Yeah, really, really like the card in the deck. You can keep like 1 mana hands with it. You shouldn't.
Yeah.
You shouldn't do it, but you could.
You could.
Oh, that's another thing I just forgot to mention. This deck doesn't need a Soul Ring. You can put a Soul Ring in if you want. You don't need it. Everything makes mana.
Soul Ring would be more of a hindrance with 2 colorless mana.
Yeah, right. Like, you just don't. Your commander's you're not getting your commander out earlier with it. It's
Arcane Signet is probably the most I'd push it, but even then.
Yeah.
Even in my one, I think I only put in. I put in 2. I put in the Talisman and the Arcane Signet.
Yeah. The next one is a card that just wins in every deck that makes creatures. Champion of Lamphold, 1 green for a 1/1. Creatures with power less than it can't block creatures you control. Whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, put a 1/1 counter on Champion of Lamphold. Your creatures get pretty big with Catilda's ability. Like I said, even the ability to use it 4 times in a row with Quest for Renewal and all your creatures being +4/+4 and nothing else on Lamphold, that means nothing 5 or less can block. And you can really, really steamroll people with that.
Yeah, that's definitely beaten me in games when I couldn't deal with it.
Yeah, what a great human creature, right?
Yeah.
The next one's a great blocker. I'll let you take it.
Chow Mano, the Revolutionary, 2 white-white for a human rebel. It's a 2/2, and it's prevent all damage that be dealt to Chow Mano Revolutionary.
Love it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of using it myself, but it's actually pretty decent.
Good blocker. You can put anything that'll redirect damage to you.
Shield of the Pariah?
Yeah, or Pariah itself as an enchantment, like.
Hmm.
We have Clarion Cathars, 3 and a white for a 3/3 human knight. When it enters, create a 1/1 white human creature token.
Yep, double bodies.
Yeah, 1/1 mana dork.
And then you've got the same with Dawnheart Mentor, 2 and a green for a human warlock for a 0/4. When it enters the battlefield, create a 1/1 white human creature token with Coven. 5 and a green, target creature you control gets +3/+3, gains trample to end of turn, and activate only if you control with 3 or more different powered creatures.
Solid.
The trample is really good there.
Solid mana sink to roll over someone.
Oh yeah, because it stacks.
Mm-hmm. The next one we have Dawnheart Wardens. 1/1 green, 1 white for a 3/3 human warlock with vigilance, also with Coven. At the beginning of combat on your turn, if you control 3 or more creatures with different powers, creatures you control get 1/0 until end of turn.
Nice.
One of the best humans in Magic, I would say, the next one.
Ewit, Eternal Witness, 1 green-green for a 2/1, that when it enters the battlefield, return target card from your graveyard to your hand.
Love it.
Yeah.
Fiend Hunter, we've got 1 white-white for a 1/3 human cleric. When it enters, you can exile another target creature. When it leaves, return the exiled card to the battlefield under its owner's control.
Yeah, another solid card.
Yeah, and again, one of the humans, I believe that was initially from Innistrad as well. I could be wrong, but it's got that Church of Avacyn look to it, so it's in the deck.
I think it is, because I think there is actually an Avacyn's collar or somewhere on there.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
I'll let you take this next one here.
I'm actually running this as well. Frontline Medic, 2 and a white for a human cleric, 3/3 with battalion. Whenever it attacks with at least 2 other creatures, creatures you control gain indestructible till end of turn. Sacrifice Frontline Medic, counter target spell with X in its mana cost unless its controller plays 3.
The second ability you're not probably going to get off that much, but it would be hilarious to see someone tap out for like a gen wave and then you're just like, counter.
Yeah, in white.
Next we have Gavinny Dawnguard, 1 white-white for a human soldier, 3/3 with ward 1. If it's neither day or night, it becomes day as it enters the battlefield. Whenever day becomes night or night becomes day, look at the top 4 cards of your library. You may reveal a creature with mana value 3 or less from among them and put it into your hand. Put the rest in the bottom in a random order. In any order, sorry.
It's pretty decent.
I like it. The next one, I'll let you take this one. This one's fun in this deck.
Gigantiomancer, 7 and a green for a 1/1 human shaman. A1, target creature control becomes a 7/7 until end of turn. Yeah, that's pretty decent.
Yeah, you can make your creatures huge. You have so much mana. The next one is one of the other cards in the deck. There's only, I think, 3 or 4 creatures that are not human. Giver of Runes, and it's 1 mana for a core cleric. Another target creature you control gains pro from colorless or from the color of your choice until the end of the turn. You really need to protect your commander. And we have untapped shenanigans in the deck a little bit. Giver just had a place, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
The next one's fun, too. I'll let you take this one.
Hero of Bladehold, 2 white-white for a human knight with a 3/4. It's got Battle Cry, so when this creature attacks, each other attacking creature gets +1/+0 till end of turn. And when the Hero of Bladehold attacks, put 2 1/1 white creature tokens onto the battlefield tapped and attacking.
I wish they were soldiers. That would make it so good, but... humans. But you get what humans. You get, right?
That's true.
The next one, Hyksos, is a very, very fun human to play. I love him. I love human tribal decks in general, like my Trin and Silvar soldier decks. I really like both tribes. Hyksos Prison Warden is 3 white-white. He has flash. Human soldier, 4/4. Whenever a creature deals combat damage to you, if Hyksos Prison Warden entered the battlefield this turn, exile that creature until Hyksos leaves.
That's pretty good.
Really, really like it.
Oh, you've got the fluffer. The Hound Tamer. I love that artwork with a big happy dog.
Yeah.
2 and a green, human werewolf, 3/3, trample. 3 and a green, put a +1/+1 on target creature with Daybound. Great mana sink. And on the back, it's a werewolf, 4/4 with trample. Other wolves and werewolves you control have trample. But the biggest thing again is 3 and a green, put a +1/+1 on target creature.
Yeah, it's definitely fun to have mana sinks in this deck. You need them.
Yeah.
We have a great card to annoy all our friends, Imposing Sovereign. 1 and a white, it is just a human, 2/1. Creatures your opponents control enter the battlefield tapped. By the way, why does no one have Thalia anymore? I've been trying to find Thalias for this deck. They're like not in stock anywhere.
Yeah, some cards are getting very difficult to find these days.
Man, I wish I had bought that Secret Lair Thalia. I love those ones. That was one of the ones I wanted for sure. This next one, I'll let you take it. I think this one's really, really cool.
Yeah, this is one I'm trying to get hold of. Intrepid Adversary, 1 and a white for a human scout, 3/1 with lifelink. When it enters the battlefield, you may pay 1 and a white any number of times. When you pay this cost 1 or more times, put that many valor counters on the Intrepid Adversary. Creatures you control get +1/+1 for each valor counter on the Intrepid Adversary.
I like that one a lot. Oh, go ahead.
I want it in my Kyla deck because the way Kyla is worded, other humans you control get +1/+1 for each counter on him. Mm-hmm. So you put in the Ozolith and all the Valor counters go off, but you can put the Valor counters back on Kyla and it counts as counters.
That's pretty cool. Ozolith's such a great card.
Yes.
Joel Rail. Don't know what that middle one is. Mwamvuli Recluse is what I'm saying. 1 and a green. For a human druid, 1/2. Whenever you draw your second card each turn, create a 2/2 green cat creature token. With Mind's Eye, that's pretty accessible.
Yeah.
But what we really want is the mana sink ability of 4 green-green. Until end of turn, creatures you control have base power and toughness XX, where X is the number of cards in your hand.
That's pretty decent.
Yeah, it's a very, very solid one. Token generation on draw, which is pretty okay. Like, we've got the ability to draw a fair number of things. but that mana sink is where we want it. I really like the next one too. You can take this one, Lotus.
Yeah, because I'm running it as well. Juniper Order Ranger, 3GW for a 2/4 human knight. When another creature enters the battlefield under your control, put a +1 counter on that creature and a +1 counter on Juniper Order Ranger. Just a decent card.
I like that one. I also really like this card. I've been running it more and more lately just because I pulled a bunch recently. It's Knight of the Reliquary. It's 1/1 green, 1/1. It gets 1/1 for each land in your graveyard. And then tap, sack a forest, or play and search your library for a land card, put it onto the battlefield, and shuffle. With my not finished land base in here, that card doesn't really shine, but with the ability to fetch your tapped or your shocks or your duels, anything like that, it's a great card overall.
What are you on about? You have Evolving Wilds.
Yeah. Evolving Wilds goes off, goes hard.
And this... the Knight of Captain of Eos as well, yeah?
Yeah, this is a fun one too.
4/1 for a 2/2 human knight. When the Captain of Eos comes into play, put 2/1/1 white soldier creature tokens into play. White, sacrifice a soldier, prevent all combat damage to be dealt this turn.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
It's a shame it's not humans, but you know,
every time
you're still making some.
Every time I'm seeing this, I'm thinking of one of the other decks I made. Connor, my little brother, recently made an Angus McKenzie deck, and I just made another Angus McKenzie deck, so we've been playing like double Angus McKenzie things at the table. Oh, it's fun. Oh, it's a good time. His is like a cleric theme one. Mine is just like full pillow fort Angus McKenzie, and I'd love to do a deck tech on that, but it's just a commander that, even if you can find it, is expensive, so.
Yeah.
I guess... maybe I'll do an Angus McKenzie / Feldegriff. You can still do the same thing with Feldegriff. You guys get it.
I mean, I just got myself a Feldegriff, so I'd quite enjoy that.
Love Feldegriff. Maybe we'll do that one coming up soon. We have Lenore, Autumn Sovereign, and I love this card. I just really, really like it. I think it's super cool. 2 colorless, 1 green, 1 white for a human noble with coven. Beginning of combat on your turn, put 1 counter on up to 1 target creature you control. Then if you control 3 or more creatures with different powers, draw a card. And it's 0/4. I really, really like it.
That's going in my maybe board.
Yeah, it's... token generation for your commander is very solid. The card draw is very solid. I like the coven mechanic, to be honest.
Yeah, I honestly, when it was first spoiled, I was a bit like, it's a bit lackluster. Now when I'm playing with it, it's actually pretty decent.
Yeah, I'm like, this is a great time, right?
Yeah.
This next one is really fun. It's better if you have Seedborn in the deck, but meh. Mages of the Order, 2 green-green for a human wizard, 3/3. Pay 1 green, sack it. Search for another green creature, or sack it and another green creature. Search your library for a green creature card, put it on the battlefield, then shuffle. In my other version of the deck, it fetches Vorinclex, and that's funny, but...
what, the new one?
No, not the new one, Lotus. The salt one. Yeah, the salt one. It's another generate a ton of mana deck. But this one is still really fun. It's really fun if you are running Kyler, if you're running a Seedborn, you can go fetch those cards out really easy. You could easily fetch out a Nyx Bloom with it, which also would be good in this deck. Turning all your things into triple mana dorks would be solid.
You could go get Craterhoof.
Yeah. Meh. I don't know. Craterhoof's pretty good. You can take the next one here.
Mentor of the Meek, 2 and a white for a 2/2 human soldier. When another creature with power 2 or less enters the battlefield under your control, you may pay 1 colorless. If you do, draw a card. Pretty good.
This one is pretty good. The next one actually really, really shines in this deck. It's very, very fun. You can infinite combo this one, which is kind of fun if you put Presence of Gond with it, but it's Midnight Guard. It's 2 and a white for a human soldier. Whenever another creature enters the battlefield, untap Midnight Guard. And because it's generating you mana, you constantly have another untapper. I really, really like the card.
Yeah, it's pretty decent.
Well, especially if you're, you know, you have some colorless you're going to dump out. You tap it, float 1 white, play your Avacyn's Pilgrim. You tap it again, float another white, and you play like Mother of Ruins or something like that, right? Like you just, I really, really like how much you can get him going.
Yeah.
It's a fun one. I like it. I'll let you take the next one here. It's cool, too.
Mikaeus the Lunarch, 1 and a white for a legendary human cleric, 0/0. When it enters the battlefield with 1/1 counters on it, tap, put a +1 counter on him, or tap, remove a +1 counter from him, and put a +1 counter on each other creature you control.
Yeah, you can get a lot of counters in this deck, even though it's not like counters matter.
Yeah, I think humans just, or token decks, or even weenie decks just end up being that way.
Yeah, I love Machias. I think it's a fun card to play. Both of them, to be honest, but...
I was wondering if you were going to run this next card.
Well, of course, Mother of Runes. One white for a human cleric, target creature you control, gains protection from the color of choice till the end of turn. Love it.
Yep.
Best mana dork. Go ahead, you, Lotus, yeah.
Odric, Lunark Marshall, 3 and a white for a legendary human soldier, 3/3, who still reminds me of Sean Connery from Highlander. That's all I can see when I see this. At the beginning of each combat, creatures you control gain first strike until end of turn. If a creature you control has first strike, the same is true for flying, death touch, double strike, haste, hexproof, indestructible, lifelink, menace, reach, skulk, trample, and vigilance. Whew.
Yeah, I really like that one. It shines more in other decks.
Didn't he used to be expensive?
Maybe, I don't know.
I didn't expect him to be 40 cents.
It's a good card for 40 cents, but you've got a lot of cards that give you like flying and stuff in the deck or vigilance. Like, there, it's pretty solid to be able to give them. You could obviously make this deck. I'll be honest, you can make this deck better. I like this deck. I have a lot of fun playing it. It's not always about playing like your most efficient fun. Sometimes it's just fun to play like silly, like I'm gonna Helix Pinnacle win.
I mean, I totally agree. I'm currently playing Yuriko, Tiger Shadow. And to optimize it, you have big spells that cost 10, 15, 10, 12 CMC. You try and kill your opponent with Yuriko that way. Mine's Ninja Tribal. My CMC curves out at 4. Sometimes it is just fun just to play low-power decks just for fun.
It's fun, too. The better you get at the game, the more fun it is to try win with like not super optimal things. And that's it. This whole deck is just about me having fun playing humans. I love to generate tons of mana. I do it in so many decks. It's like my favorite thing to do. You can, before anyone like gets upset, you can make this deck much better. I have total faith that everyone listening can do a better job in this deck than me. But it's very fun. It's a very, very fun list. It's a great shell for a list. Like, if you build this, I promise you will have a good time. Unless you have a board wipe meta. Then you will not have a good time whatsoever. And you will personally dislike me greatly.
More so than normal.
Yeah. The next one we have is Odric, Master Tactician. We've got 2 double white for a 3/4 human soldier. With first strike, when Odric and at least 3 other creatures attack, you choose which creatures block this combat and how they block, which is generally none, unless they have like something annoying.
Yeah. But we have Death Touch.
Yeah. Really, really like that card. It's a great way to just swing in and end the game.
Oh, I didn't realize this one was put in here, but I can see why. Outland Liberator, 1 and a white for a human werewolf, 2/2. Pay 1, sacrifice it, destroy target artifact or enchantment, but it also is a daybound, nightbound card. And on the back, it's a 3/3 werewolf that has the same. Pay 1, sacrifice it, destroy target artifact or enchantment, or the better side. Whenever it attacks, destroy target artifact or enchantment defending player controls.
Yeah, I really, really like that. Mechanic is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I love these next cards too a lot. Ranger of Eos, 3 and a white for a human soldier, 3/2. When it enters, you can search library for up to 2 creature cards with CMC 1 or less. Reveal them, put them into your hand, then shuffle. For me, that card fetches Mother of Runes, Giver of Runes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great protection cards. You can pretty easily like build this deck into like a Walking Ballista Recursion deck if you want. Lots of people would fetch that, but meh. I like the protection cards.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of little things you can do with that.
I'll let you take the next one.
Ranger Captain of Eos. It's almost like he's been promoted.
Yeah.
1 white for a 3/3 human soldier. When it enters the battlefield, you may search your library for a creature card with converted mana cost 1 or less. Reveal it, put it into your hand, shuffle your library, sacrifice it. Your opponent can't cast non-creature spells this turn.
I love that card.
Yeah.
Great interactions. Very fun to, you know, that you're going to storm off. Because, again, you can Triumph of the Hordes of the deck. You can Overwhelming Stampede any of those things. It's a great way to just make sure your card gets through.
Yeah.
For me, it's generally to counterspell whoever's playing blue so I can play Helix Pinnacle. Because again, you have to counter Helix Pinnacle, like, especially in a deck like this where mana generation is like my number one goal. You have to counter Helix Pinnacle. So Ranger, Captain of Eos is like my whole way of being like, let me play this.
Yeah.
Love it. Realm Walker is our next one. We have 2 and a white for a Shapeshifter Changeling. So it is a human. 2/3, as it enters, choose a creature type. You can look at the top card of your library anytime. You can cast creatures of the chosen type from the top of your library. This hits like almost half the cards in our deck, so very solid for us.
And I don't see it played enough in tribal decks that run green either.
It's a really cool card, yeah.
I like the next one because I run it as well. Sarif the Viper's Fang, 2 green-green for a 3/4 human warlock. Other tapped creatures you control have death touch. Other untapped creatures you control have hexproof. 1 and tap, untap another target creature or land you control.
Phenomenal card.
Yeah.
And I really like that other untapped creatures you control have hexproof, so the fact that you can just untap them. Somebody tries to burn like a Doomblade or something on my Catilda. I just untap Catilda. You've wasted your spell. I love it.
Yeah.
We have Shanna Sisse's Legacy, 1 green, 1 white. 0/0, can't be the target of spells your opponents control. Shanna gets 1/1 for each creature you control. Solid, very big beater late game. Early game, something that produces white or green mana for you with Catilda out. A great overall card, I think, as well.
Yeah, I like that.
I do like the next two cards, too. And everything I put them in, I pretty much put them in Soul Warden and then Soul Attendant. They're both 1 mana human clerics that both do the same thing. Whenever another creature enters the battlefield, you gain a life.
I run both of them in my version. I totally agree. This card is just incremental value.
Now, the next one is one of my favorite cards in all of Magic, but I'm going to let you read this one, Lotus, because you just read it during the beginning and you didn't see this one, so please.
No. A Tyran Champion of Freedom, 3 and a white for a 3/3 legendary human soldier. It partners with Silvar Devourer of Free. Not in these colors, I presume.
Nope.
Okay. At the beginning of your end step, if you attacked this turn, create a 1/1 white human soldier creature token. I just like it.
Great mana generation. Amazing artwork, like some of my favorite artwork in the game. I really, really wish that they had made playmats of both Trin and Silvar. And honestly, Howled and Pockle. I liked all of those pairings, like Kazaru, Kima, Yannick, Nakara. I really liked all of them. So, Wizards, grow up. Make me my playmat. this one's Jesper Edgething art. Like, I love it.
I really like it.
Yeah, big fan of this card in general. And it fits so well for us, making more mana dorks. It itself is a mana dork. I just absolutely love the card. If you go back and listen to the Trin and Silvar episode, it's kind of not great for the humans. Trin's just trying to feed humans to Silvar, but that's neither here nor there. We have Vivian's Grizzly next. We have got 2 and a green for a bear spirit. It's a 2/3, but its important ability is this. It's 3 and a green. Look at the top card of your library. If it's a creature or planeswalker, you may reveal it and put it into your hand. If you don't, put it onto the bottom. Love it.
Yeah.
Really good way to filter us into getting more cards. And yeah.
And then you have a Maya Elder, 1 green-green for a human druid 2/1. When it dies, you may search your library for up to 2 basic land cards, reveal them, put them in your hand, shuffle, and pay 2, sacrifice it, draw a card.
Yeah, overall solid for us. And then this one's
I'm glad you put this one in, because I was going to build it as a commander, but really struggled, but yeah.
It's just a fun card to use. I've made a Yisan deck before, but it was more on the competitive edge, and I want to make a more fun one. Yisan the Wanderer Bard is 2 and a green for a human rogue, 2/3. Then it has 2 and a green tap, put a verse counter on Yisan. Search your library for a creature card with CMC equal to the value of equal to the number of verse counters on Yisan. Put it on the battlefield, then shuffle.
Yeah. I love this card so much. I was trying to do Panglacial Worm Yisa kind of shenanigans.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's generally my deck. The list over here, it says 32 lands, but you've got the 2 flip lands in it, so it's really like 34 lands, which is crazy high for me, I know.
I know. And then every single creature is a mana dork.
Yeah. Well, and that's exactly it, right? It's really fun to have the acceleration in a different form. You've got so many creatures to choose from, and they all tap for mana in this deck. I really like it. Like I said, it's pretty easy to upgrade. I think that it doesn't take too much imagination to put different things in it. Like, I have already built 2 Catilda decks. I just really liked the commander for what it's able to accomplish. Just on its face, the ability to turn your tribe into basically something that taps for any colors you need is just a phenomenal mechanic. It really mm-hmm. can't be understated how valuable Catilda is in the deck. And even if you don't have Catilda out, you're still, it's pretty low CMC. You're going to be able to still beat face with it.
Yeah, I was going to say, the deck I'm quite liking as a budget deck, it is really good and looks really fun. And there's a few cards in there that I'm even running in my higher power Kyla deck.
Yeah. I have a great time playing this one. It's a really, really fun shell. And especially right now, more and more people are, over COVID, a lot of people were stuck inside not doing anything. So more and more people are coming out playing. I've said that many times lately, that you're seeing a lot of new people out at game stores. It's a great time to be out playing as long as you're able to do so safely and everything like that. But it's a great time for people getting into Magic. And this is an easy deck to show someone and say, like, hey, like, it's like $200 or less. You can make, like I said, you don't need to have, you can cut half of the budget out if you just don't have like the $15 Ranger Captain of Eos things. And like, there's a few high budget creatures in the deck.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few upgrades I would add into there that are probably less than cards that you've already got.
Yeah, like there's lots of cards in the deck that can be cut, shuffled around, but it's just a really, really fun deck to play overall. It doesn't take, it's not like a very confusing deck. It's really easy to teach people how to play with a deck like this.
Yeah. So I would generally say that there's two cards that I'd put in just to make your deck just a little bit better without going too far. And the first one I'd say is Slippery Bog Bonder.
Is that the Hexproof one? Yeah.
Yeah, it's the human druid that has flash that you can put a Hexproof counter on another creature. So it just protects your commander. But I feel like the biggest upgrade for your deck would be Masako the Humorless.
Oh, that's the tap creatures can block one?
Yeah.
Yeah,
if you're tapping yours for mana, your creatures would still be there for blockers.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
And again, they're like a couple of dollars each.
I do like where the deck sits. I know that it's very upgradable. I just, every time I've played it, I've had a blast so far, so.
I mean, that's the main thing, though.
I've killed some people with Champion of Lamp holding this one. It's a great time. But yeah, no, this is my Selesnya deck. It is fairly budget, but not everything has to be crazy tuned. Sometimes you're just having a good time.
I mean, yeah, and as you say, there's new people coming out with just precons. I think this would be a great one to play against a precon.
Yeah, especially if they have Wilhelm and you want to exile their zombies. That's a good one. Angel of Glory's Rise is hilarious against zombie decks. I hit someone's Gissa deck with it the other day. Loved it. Loved every minute of it.
I'm going to have to get myself one of these.
It has different artwork in general. This is actually from the precon, that artwork that's there.
Okay.
I really, really like it.
I'm going to have to try and dig one out.
Flavor
from
text.
My LGS.
Flavor text on it. Justice isn't done until Undeath is undone.
Undeath is undone. That's beautiful.
I love it. I just love the whole... The whole list is super fun to play, but that getting a Helix Pinnacle win in this deck feels good. It's a good time. It really is going to make you the target of your play group if you drop that Helix Pinnacle. So wait until you can start bumping mana into it, because everyone's going to swing at you once it's on the field.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good time. That's, like I said, that's the list here. Let me know what you would have taken out of Catilda or put in. Like, what do you think, something doesn't work, or do you think that there's some cards that would function better? Did I miss any great humans? For obviously I missed Thalia, but is there any other like tribes or tribal humans that really, really go off that I'm missing here? And yeah, Lotus, you can let everyone know where they can find our stuff. Thanks so much for listening, guys, and yeah, let me know if you ever try this list out.
Yeah, so you can find us at intothe99.com, one-stop shop for everything Commander. There will be the links to our Discord where you can come with us and brew live in chat with us. We also have our YouTube channel, links are on there as well, Patreon, and our merch store where you can get some decent stuff.
Thank you so much for tuning in, and as always, stay safe, have a great week, let us know what you think.
Yeah, take care, everybody.